Hi, it's time for the check-in. I'm Janet Saidi. We are still on this incredible journey together that is the year 2020. Hang in there. We're near the end. But first, we have some holidays to get through, and we are now a week out from Thanksgiving. What is Thanksgiving going to look like for you? What do any of us have to be thankful for? That's a tough one. So we're bringing in a couple of experts. We're going to get some advice from author A.J. Jacobs. He decided he'd like to personally thank the hundreds of people involved in making his morning coffee. The result was a global trek and a book, Thanks a Thousand, A Gratitude Journey. Let us know, are you grateful? Whatever for. Call us at 573-882-4991. That's 573-882-4991. Gratitude and how to do it today on The Check-In, right after this. Hi, this is The Check-In. Thank you for being here. Today, we're talking about gratitude, what it means for us right now, how it can help us make sense of all the strange and confusing events of this year. And we'd really like to hear from you here on The Check-In. Check in with us. Do you have a story about how simply saying thank you changed your interaction with someone recently? Maybe in line at the grocery store, at the coffee shop, or in your family, or in another interaction. Do you make a gratitude part of your life, either in a faith group, in prayer, or in simply saying thanks to strangers? Let us know how you express and how you feel gratitude. You can call us at 573-882-4991. That's 573-882-4991. We'd like to hear your story about being thankful and how you maintain gratitude. You can also tweet us at checkin_KBIA. And you can text us to 88474. Our producers will check your tweets, they'll check your texts, and they'll put your story and your thoughts into the conversation. And joining us today is best-selling author A.J. Jacobs. He's the author of a book, Thanks a Thousand, A Gratitude Journey. The book happened when A.J. decided one morning that it was necessary to thank every individual responsible for his morning cup of coffee. The journey led him on a global trek to visit baristas, scientists, farmers, truckers, about 1,000 people. He ended up saying thank you and showing his gratitude to. And he wrote about it. A.J. Jacobs, thank you so much for being on The Check-In.
Thank you, Janet. And thank you to your producers and your engineers and everyone else, of course.
Okay, you're very welcome. So, you know, this is such a great book and just such a great journey. So you discovered a lot. But one of the things that you discovered is that a lot goes into making a cup of coffee. But why did you have that initial thought that you needed to thank all these people?
Well, it started because I knew that gratitude is so important. It's such a key to happiness and health. Yeah. And I'm not a naturally grateful person. I'm sort of more Larry David than Mr. Rogers. So I started a few years ago this practice before a meal. Before dinner, I would try to say out loud, thank you to the farmer who grew the tomato for our spaghetti and the cashier who sold it to me. And my son, who was 11 at the time, he said, Dad, that's fine, but it's also pretty lame because those people can't hear you. If you really cared, you would thank them in person. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm a writer. And I said, that is a very interesting idea for a project. So that set me off. And as you say, it took me around the world. It took me months. And there were so many surprises. And it just highlighted the hundreds of people we take for granted. And it highlighted humans' ability to find the, we're very good at finding the three or four things that go wrong every day, and we take for granted the hundreds that go right, even in these challenging times when I think we need gratitude more than ever.
Yeah, and that's remarkable. I don't think many of us would take our kids sort of, hey, you haven't thanked everyone and decide, yeah, that's a book, but you are a writer, and that's what you ended up with. You know, I want to explore a lot of the different things that you bring up here just in your first answer, the ritual that you had in your family, even though you describe yourself as an agnostic, and just the many people that are involved in something, and also just how, you know, showing thankfulness can actually change the way you act and the way you think. And you write about all these things. And I want to explore a lot of that. But first, you know, one of your first very simple takeaways in this book is to look up. Why should we be looking up as we're going about our lives?
Yeah, this came about because I interviewed the barista who sold me the coffee on the Upper West Side of New York. And she was a lovely woman. And she said she has a tough job because she's dealing with people in a very dangerous state, which is pre-caffeination. And she said, it's hard. And the hardest part is people don't even treat her like a human being. They just treat her like a vending machine. So they'll just look at her, they'll hold out their credit card, and they'll look at their phone. And I realized I've done this dozens, hundreds of times. And it's so simple just to look up and make eye contact for 2 seconds and acknowledge the humanity of the other person. And it's not just good for them, it's good for you as well, because it reminds you, you know, you are a human, and the person you're dealing with has got a, you know, she went to high school, she has a family, she has, you know, things, movies that she likes. And it just makes that small gesture makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And I mean, that's especially relevant now because we are all wearing masks. We're all experiencing difficult times at some level. How are you finding, AJ? I'm really interested as you go about your life. You're I think, joining us from New York. How are you able to be thankful and show thankfulness much of the time these days?
Well, it is a struggle. I mean, and it's always a struggle, but now particularly. But I think it's worth the struggle. And the answer is yes, I really do try in any interaction I have, whether it's on Zoom or in person, looking people in the eye and thanking them. And actually, today was a big day because I had pledged to write 1,000 thank you notes to readers of my book if they filled out a form on my website.
Okay.
And this was about 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. So it took me a little longer than I hoped, but I just finished today handwriting. I said I would, you know, carpal tunnel, be damned. I'm going to write these handwritten, personalized notes. And I finished today. And, you know, in one sense, it was a huge pain in the butt. But in the other, it was wonderful because I connected with these people, and it reminded me, you know, why I'm a writer is that there are people on the other side whose lives are hopefully touched. So forcing myself to do these, in a sense, it's like going to the gym. In the beginning, I was like, oh, what a pain. But by the end, I just felt so good.
What an amazing habit. I mean, I have friends who swear by the handwritten thank you note because I'm lucky enough to have really nice friends that do that sort of thing. I find it really hard. And so that's just a nice inspiration, and especially in these times. I did get in the habit of sending some postcards. I got a pack of feminist postcards, and that was really fun to send some of those around. So we've just come up with one tip for thankfulness, like get out during this time, especially. Go use the U.S. Postal Services now that the election
love
is over.
Post office. They're heroes. Exactly.
Yes.
That's right. I did wait. I did wait until the election was over to mail most of them.
Uh-huh. That's awesome. Let me remind our listeners, what are you grateful for these days, and how do you practice gratitude? Are you a handwritten thank you note person? Do you receive those and feel fantastic? Are you able to say thank you right now with your mask on? Are you doing anything extra to show your gratitude in your daily life right now? Or just let us know what you feel thankful for right now. Are you counting your blessings in difficult times? Studies show that is actually really good for you and can actually change the way you feel. Let us know what's on your mind, how you're feeling. You can join our discussion at 573-882-4991. Again, that's 882-499. We're talking to best-selling author A.J. Jacobs about his gratitude journey and 1,000 thanks that he gave for his morning cup of coffee. You can also tweet us, by the way, at checkin_KBIA, or you can text us at 88474. AJ, you described yourself as more Larry David than Mr. Fred Rogers. Both of us have a little bit of, I think all of us have a little bit of both of those. But you said I liked this quote, mildly to severely aggravated about half of the time. How did practicing thankfulness change that, if at all?
Well, absolutely. It really is. It's the fake it till you feel it phenomenon, where I would sort of force myself. Mm-hmm. So every day I would write letters or call people. I remember I called the woman who does pest control for the warehouse where the coffee beans are stored. Mm-hmm. And I said, and there is some awkwardness to thanking. So I said, I know this is a little weird, but I want to thank you for helping to keep the insects out of my coffee. And she said, well, that is a little weird, but thank you. I do not get a lot of acknowledgement in my job. And she described it as sort of an anti-crank phone call. So if you're up for it, try making an anti-crank phone call.
Well, you are the person you mentioned awkward. You are also the person who arrived at the post office with chocolate bars, which probably frightened people. I think I would be a little frightened, but you just kind of went for it and you were thankful. And so you have probably seen people sort of transformed in your midst by just gratitude. Unexpectedly.
Right. It is interesting. I mean, 80% of the people are, I think, transformed in a positive way. I did get about 20% who thought that I was like doing a pyramid scheme or trying to sell them something. So, you know, there was a slightly mixed reaction, but overall, really positive.
All right. That's great. Well, we want to hear from you, listeners. Let us know what you're thankful for. 573-882-4991. Again, that's 573-882-4991. We're going to take a break now. We will be back in a few minutes with author A.J. Jacobs, whose intense desire to thank people led him on a global trek and also led to his book, Thanks a Thousand. So we're talking about gratitude. We will be right back with this conversation after this. Welcome back to The Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi. We're talking about how to practice gratitude and thankfulness this holiday season in the midst of so much, a pandemic, loss, disparities, division. No pressure to our guest, A.J. Jacobs, who is helping us sort out some of this and how to stay thankful in all of this. We want to hear from you. How do you show gratitude? Do you have rituals you share with your family or faith group? From prayer to a simple thank you in line at the grocery store, at the coffee shop. How do you express gratitude? You can let us know at 573-882-4991. That's 882-4991. You can tweet us at checkin_KBIA or text us to 88474. And we're joined by author A.J. Jacobs. A.J. is an author and journalist who writes for The New York Times, The Guardian. Most importantly, he contributes to NPR. And we're talking about his book, Thanks a Thousand, A Gratitude Journey, and it chronicles his quest to thank every person who contributed to the creation of his morning cup of coffee. And spoiler alert, it was more than just the barista. It was almost 1,000 people or maybe more. AJ, talking about that first person you thanked, the barista, she actually has a really difficult story. She had a lot of reasons to not feel so thankful. But she's interacting with people every day and probably comes across as pretty grateful. As a journalist, I find that I'm overwhelmed and humbled all the time by people that I talk to who just maintain resiliency and gratitude in the most difficult circumstances. Did you find this, and have you started finding this more as both a journalist and as a writer who is on this track?
Absolutely. And you had brought up earlier maintaining gratitude in these difficult times during COVID. And it brought to mind that early on, I sort of started a Thanks a Thousand Part Two, where I started to send notes and emails to people who helped keep society running. It's grocery workers. And what's interesting, when we think of the hospital, my mind always goes to, oh, the nurses and the doctors, but there are hundreds of, there's technicians, clerical staff, janitorial staff, food services staff, information technology staff, and pharmacists. So it is, so I just started writing thank you notes, and I said, don't respond, you're too busy. I don't, but some did respond anyway and said, that they were grateful, and that a lot of them were having a rough time, but they knew that they had to persevere because this was this is for the greater good. They are keeping us alive.
Well, you're bringing kind of answering a question that one of our producers had too, which is like, who deserves gratitude or acknowledgement right now? Do you think that we don't thank enough? Have you thought about that during this really challenging year?
Well, I'm of the opinion that most people deserve gratitude that they don't get. I mean,
Yes.
that was sort of the big lesson of,
Yeah.
we thank the visible people, but there, for every cup of coffee, there are hundreds. There's the logo designer, there's the truck
Yes.
driver, there's, and the truck driver couldn't do his or her job without the road. So you have to thank the people who paved the road and the people who got the tar for the road. It just goes on and on. So that would be my thought. Let everyone contributes in some small way, and we just don't acknowledge it enough.
You mentioned, AJ, this sort of little kind of prayer that wasn't a prayer that you started with your family. And I think you describe yourself as an agnostic. I'm someone who grew up very religious and now identifies more as a secular humanist. And so I understand the importance of the rituals, but it's hard to kind of find rituals in a secular life. I'm fascinated that you kind of started this prayer with your family. Have you gone about finding rituals of gratitude and other rituals that help you in even a non-religious family?
I think that is so. I'm glad you brought it up because, yeah, you don't have to be religious to realize the beauty of rituals. And I try to do several. One is just a private ritual. When I'm going to sleep, instead of counting sheep, I try to count things that I'm grateful for. And my twist is I do it alphabetically. So, A, I might be thankful for Alex Trebek and the amazing work that he did. And B could
Yes.
be who know Barry, a funny show on HBO with Henry Winkler. So it can not all TV related, but yeah,
We're all very grateful for TV right now. I hear
that's
you.
true. Yeah, and for Netflix, but yeah, that's just one. And thanking people, sort of that secular prayer before dinner, I think is also a lovely ritual. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because rituals are important.
Well, and you mentioned, I think it's in a TED talk, that I think you're quoting a religious leader here, but that you don't need happiness for gratitude, but you do need gratitude for happiness. Like this is a practice. We talk about practice, gratitude, it's an action. You talk about fake it till you make it. You can sort of practice gratitude, you can practice compassion. You talk about that until you kind of get there, and then it changes your feelings. And a lot of us think that we are grumpy, we're Larry David, and we're just waiting for that spirit to descend on us, and that the spirit is not going to descend on you. You have to sort of incorporate into your actions. How do you do this in your life? And can you talk a little bit about gratitude as an action?
Yeah, I love that, and I think you're right. I quoted a Benedictine monk who said that gratitude does not that happiness does not lead to gratitude. Gratitude leads to happiness, and this has actually been a theme in several of my books. That the way you're, there's a quote: "It's easier to act your way into a new way of thinking than to think your way into a new way of acting. And I love that because I find it to be true. So forcing myself to just say thanks every day. I tell my kids, I'd say every week I give them this little lecture that they roll their eyes at, but hopefully someday it'll sink in and they'll tell their kids, which is that people talk about the glass half full and the glass half empty. And I think that might be the wrong way to look at it. Because doing this project, I realized how amazing it is that we can turn a little knob on our faucet and get clean drinkable water. I mean, this is, it takes hundreds of thousands of people to make that happen. And it wasn't true for 99% of human history. It's still not true for billions of people around the world. And so it's quite miraculous that there's any water in there at all, whether or not it's half full or a third full or three quarters.
Yeah, you talk about this and write about it in the book that, you know, you're having a terrible day, you know, well, what hasn't gone wrong today? Sometimes that's all you can do. To be grateful is just to kind of think, okay, well, it could have been, you know, there could have been a literal train wreck, but instead I'm just squashed into a subway car, you know, in a pandemic. So just think about what could be worse. So is this something you did before embarking on this journey, AJ, or is that kind of, have you always sort of been someone who kind of thinks, well, it could be worse?
Well, yeah. And it is an interesting strategy. It has some drawbacks because you don't want to get too obsessed with it. But I do think, I mean, one thing that I've thought about for many, many years is just the dangers of nostalgia and thinking about the good old days, because the good old days were not that good for many, many people. They were dangerous, violent, sexist, smelly, homophobic. I mean, they were, you know, you were in pain a lot of the time. And I recently listened to a masterclass called The Other Side of History about, instead of the kings and the generals, this is all about the peasants and women's roles and the disabled. And, you know, it was a rough world. So, that I always think about, you know, we are going through a very hard time, but I would still prefer to live now than 100 years ago, 200 years ago.
Yeah. Let me just remind our listeners, we're talking to author A.J. Jacobs about his book, Thanks a Thousand, A Gratitude Journey. The journey that A.J. Jacobs went on to thank everyone involved in his morning cup of coffee, and it turns out to be a gratitude journey involving about 1,000 people, 1,000 thank yous. Let us know what you're grateful for these days, how you're practicing gratitude. Do you do this through a faith group at church? Do you do this alone as a ritual, just at the coffee shop saying thank you? How are you connecting with people right now during this pandemic? Let us know your thoughts on this, your advice, or your questions for our author, 573-882-4991. Again, 573-882-4991 to join the discussion, or tweet us at checkin_KBIA, or text us at 88474. AJ, what you're talking about, also you've mentioned, you know, the possible downside of gratitude. You've mentioned that the author, Barbara Ehrenreich, calls gratitude the opiate of the people. You know, you can become blinkered if you're walking around just concentrating on the positive. We are going into the C segment. We'll be joined by Reverend Dr. Cassandra Gould, who combines faith with activism in her life and in the state of Missouri. How do you think, you've looked a little bit at this, like how can you practice thankfulness while also staying awake and aware to the disparities and the social justice issues that we deal with in our society?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because there is an argument that it makes us complacent. Gratitude equals complacency, or even it's a tool. That was Barbara Ehrenreich's argument, that would say Walmart would say, oh, and just be grateful for your job and not give the benefits. So, but it actually turns out the research does not support this. The research indicates that gratitude is actually a spark to action, that it is, it makes you want to pay it forward. And I did notice this on a personal level, when, like I mentioned with the water, just being aware and grateful for all of the hundreds of people who make it possible for me to have New York water, and realizing that in Africa there are millions of people who don't have this, and it inspired me to look into what are the most effective charities to help other people get what I'm so grateful for. So I think that it's a good thing, because it is a spark for making the world better. Once you're grateful, you want other people to be grateful too.
Yeah, and that explains why you do find that people so often working on the front lines in healthcare, in social justice, you know, the people really getting out there are the people who are grateful. It's hard to know which comes first, you know, but I think that the gratitude provides that energy, and it's just really fascinating. We have someone who's making a comment, AJ, either a producer or someone who tweeted us, "I've had an epiphany that I haven't asked myself once this year. What hasn't gone wrong in 2020? Not once this year have I been like AJ and said, oh, well, at least that hasn't gone wrong." So that's a good reminder, everyone. You know, just ask yourself occasionally, tell yourself, what hasn't gone wrong? You know, like, what do I have? I do think that's a really good practice during 2020. I actually, AJ, have an iPhone note to myself called Good Things, where I just look at it to remind myself, like, here's the good things. Like, don't forget, there are some Netflix shows on that list. So TV is one of them. Also, you know, dinner on the porch with family sometimes, you know, public radio, some public radio and podcast, you know, ways of connecting. And for me, public radio is an action thing as well as just something to tap into. But yeah, you know, a thankfulness list. Let me just throw out to our listeners, we've got a few more minutes here on the check-in. There's time. Let us know what you are grateful for, how you remind yourself of what you're grateful for. You can join our discussion, 573-882-4991. That's 573-882-4991. AJ, I really want to get to a couple of other topics with you. We're going to have to go to a break in a second, but let me just introduce this other book. You've done so many interesting projects kind of as a gonzo journalist, but instead of sort of being like Hunter S. Thompson and going to the Kentucky Derby, you're just kind of going out into the world with your books and kind of finding out how people tick and how we think and how we can connect better is how I would say that you're doing, how we live and how we can live better together through your books. And so I want to ask you a little bit about The Year of Living Biblically, which is another book called My Year of Living Biblically, I think, the title of this book. And you tried following Hebrew scriptures almost literally for a year. What came from that experience when it comes to gratitude? What did you learn about gratitude during that year? And then we want to kind of continue and learn a little bit more about that experience.
Sure. Well, that was actually one of the big takeaways, because the Bible does say to be grateful for everything. And so I would try. And that was sort of one of the genesis of this project, because, you know, I would press the elevator button, I'd be thankful the elevator came. I'd get in the elevator, I'd be thankful it didn't plummet to the basement and break my collarbone. And it's what you were saying earlier, you know, realizing that all the things that went right, which we totally take for granted.
Wow, that's great. Okay. Adrian, I think we have time before. We've got some calls coming in. I'm not sure we're ready to take them quite yet. So those of you who have called in, hold on, we will get to your calls here. We are talking with AJ Jacobs, author of Thanks a Thousand, A Gratitude Journey. We're going to be joined after the break by some of our callers. We will get to you. We're going to be joined by Reverend Dr. Cassandra Gould, talking about incorporating gratitude into your life. I think we can take one quick call, AJ, before our break. We've got Kim calling from Vandalia. Kim, thanks for calling. Very quickly, what's your question or comment?
You're welcome. Well, I have a comment. I work for Missouri State Prison in one of the women's prisons, and I noticed my perspective has changed. I've worked for 17 years now for Department of Corrections, and the women, of course, their lives have been changed tremendously by being incarcerated many times. They suffer being separated from their children and families and loved ones die and they're not able to go to their funerals, and they deal with drug addiction and so many things, but I'll meet them on the sidewalk and say, we'll speak, and I'll say, how are you doing today? And they'll say, oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And I hear that so much that I've changed to just be grateful that I get to go home every night. I get to grieve with my family. I lost a daughter 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Just things that you wouldn't necessarily think in your life that were blessings. You can always think of the position somebody else is in. And at least I get to be with my family to grieve. I get to cry and hug them in person. And the women have just changed my perspective on how I look at things.
Yes.
And things, I'm much like comparison with AJ. I look at my cup as half full rather than half empty. And I walk in every day and decide how my day is going to be.
That is marvelous, Kim. That's so inspiring. So appreciate you sharing that with us. Kim, we have to take a quick break here. You can hear our music telling us that. If you want to hang on, Kim, we will come back to you after the break. AJ will get your response to Kim's call as well. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. We will be back here on the check-in talking about gratitude. We'll take your calls right after this. You're listening to The Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi, and we're talking about gratitude going into Thanksgiving week in the middle of a pandemic that is worsening. And we're talking about how gratitude isn't a passive state of mind that comes to visit upon us. It's rather an action that we can utilize to change our interactions, our daily lives, and to actually increase our own happiness right now. And we are getting a lot of phone calls, but you also have time still to join our conversation. If you want to join us, 573-882-4991. That's 573-882-4991. We're going to take some calls now. We are also joined, in addition to bestselling author A.J. Jacobs, who's joining us talking about his book, Thanks a Thousand, A Gratitude Journey. We're joined now by Reverend Dr. Cassandra Gould. She's the executive director of Missouri Faith Voices, an interfaith coalition working for social justice. Also, Reverend Gould is the pastor of Quinn Chapel AME in Jefferson City. Reverend Gould, thanks so much for being with us today.
Good afternoon. Glad to be with you all.
So glad to have you with us, Reverend Gould. Yes, and we also have A.J. Jacobs here, too. Just before we went to the break, AJ and Reverend Gould, we were hearing from Kim, who works in a women's prison, saying that it has made her more grateful. She also mentioned heartbreakingly that she's lost a daughter and that she was just talking about how gratitude strengthens her. AJ, what is your response? You've traveled the world talking about gratitude and trying to be more grateful. What's your response to Kim's call?
Yeah, I thought that was a really powerful call. And I think, you know, there's an old adage that we don't appreciate what we have until it's taken away. And I think that that is so true. I remembered for my book, I asked one of my smartest friends, he's a professor at Oxford, what he's grateful for. And you know, I expected him to say like the concerts of Beethoven. But instead he said, sometimes I'm just grateful that I have ears or eyes or arms or lungs, and because it's those basic things that we take for granted and we never acknowledge. And so I loved what Kim had to say.
Reverend Gould, anything to add to that?
Oh, certainly. In this season of a pandemic, I also had a catastrophic accident this year. Currently not able to walk. And so it is those little things that I find myself being grateful for, just being grateful for every morning that I am awake, that I'm not one of the 250,000 Americans who have succumbed to COVID, that my family members are alive and well. And so I think in an era of consumerism, We have to figure out how to be grateful for the simple things.
Reverend Gold, I'm so sorry to hear that you have experienced that and that you're struggling, but I'm so glad that you're recovering and even doubly grateful to you for joining us today. And I suppose grateful that we are by remote and that people join us by phone these days. So that way we're able to get you as you're recovering and we're able to get AJ Jacobs, who can join us from New York, which normally wouldn't happen. AJ, you probably haven't done a lot of publicity in Missouri. Yes, but we want to hear more, Reverend Gold, from you. Just as a faith leader, some of your approach would be really crucial to get. So we want to get this here in the next few minutes. But we have a caller who's been waiting very patiently on the line to be brought into this conversation. Bill is calling from Blackwater, Missouri. Bill, thanks so much for calling. What's your comment or question about gratitude in your life?
I just have a small example that I use that serves me well. When I'm served and you get the usual canard, have a great day.
Yes.
I shock them out of their reverie by saying, just telling them that you've helped, and that that takes them a bit back and evidences genuine gratitude.
Okay, so you are setting people back a little bit in a good way. AJ Jacobs is also very familiar with doing that because he traveled around the world kind of surprising people with gratefulness. So, Bill, you're saying surprise people with gratefulness. What kind of reactions do you get to your retort? They're not expecting it. Just have a good day. That's something that Americans are very well known for. Have a good day. And you come back with thanks, you're helping. Do people get over their sort of surprise and interact with you?
I just use two simple words. You've helped. And the response I get is they turn back around and give me eye contact.
Okay.
They don't know what to say, but they're trying to think of something to say.
All right. So you get a little bit of connection out of that. Thanks so much for the call, Bill. Take care.
My pleasure.
So let us know, listeners, we've just got a few more minutes here on the check-in, but we still want to hear your stories. How do you make other people around you grateful? How do you connect with people just by showing your gratitude? Let us know. 573-882-4991. Just got a few more minutes here on the check-in. 573-882-4991. But we will try to work your call in to this conversation if you want to let us know your tips. How you stay grateful, how you connect with people. Reverend Gold, this holiday season is going to look really different for a lot of people. It's the season of togetherness, really. So it's a little heartbreaking what people are having to deal with, having to forego family get-togethers. What advice are you giving to people as a faith leader at Quinn Chapel and in Missouri going into this holiday season? How are you advising people to stay grateful, to stay connected, and stay happy?
So I do want to correct one thing. I am not currently pastoring.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
I ended my 9-year term at Quinn Chapel last October.
Okay.
But still, faith leaders still have a virtual congregation.
Yes.
There is kind of this old adage, particularly, that comes out of the Black faith tradition. A colleague and a friend, Dr. Freddie Haynes in Dallas, often says, "When I think, I faint." And so one of the things that I'm admonishing people is that even if you're not gathering with whatever the number of family members that you normally gather with, to actually just think. To think back on previous holidays that you have had, if there are empty seats at your table because you lost a loved one, to think back on times that you had with them. There's an African-American traditional song called Precious Memories, How They Linger, and to allow those memories to compel you to thanking God, in my case, as a Christian pastor, but just being thankful, even if you're not a person of faith. And so when we think, we thank. When we think about how times in the past that we've had, how gracious the Creator has been to us, it should give us a reason to be thankful, to have gratitude, even in a season that you might be joining your family on Zoom for Thanksgiving.
All right. I love that. When we think, we thank. Let me just throw it out there to our listeners. Again, 573-882-4991. Are you like the person who suggested to us, like, I haven't actually stopped to think one time in 2020 what I'm thankful for? Maybe you're like that, and maybe you're changing. Maybe you're resolved now. Let us know, 573-882-4991. Pastor Gold, a lot of people have also experienced loss this year. Is it okay to mourn the things that we've lost and feel sorrow even while feeling gratitude? This is a kind of a complicated question, and I think you're the one to answer it. What do you think about incorporating and allowing yourself to feel loss even while feeling gratitude?
Absolutely. Grief is a journey, and sometimes we grieve the loss of actual people. Some are grieving the loss of job. Some are, I'm grieving the loss of my mobility right now, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a temporary loss, right? I'll probably be walking by January, but it is indeed a loss. We have unfortunately been conditioned around these binary constructs that make us think we either have to do this or we have to do that. You can grieve. You can mourn the loss of people, of experiences, and still find things to be thankful for. So I don't want people to be in denial. Loss is real. It's tangible, and it will impact everyone in different ways. And we should absolutely make space to allow ourselves to actually feel whatever we're feeling in those moments in this time period. We talk about, you know, this season, even before a pandemic, holidays absolutely for as many of us that find ways to be thankful and grateful and gleeful. Many more people are depressed. Many more people are saddened by these holidays and want to isolate themselves even prior to a pandemic. So those are also things that we have to think about, and we cannot vilify people for feeling how they feel. You know, we may want to just provide the ministry of presence, even if it's via phone or text, just to let those people know that they're not alone.
All right. And thank you so much for reminding us, Reverend Gold, that grief is a journey, and it's okay to incorporate the loss into your feelings of gratitude, and just mix up all those feelings, and just be kind to yourself. It's just very good right now. You can join our discussion. Are you incorporating loss this year, even into your thankfulness? Let us know, 573-882-4991. That's 573-882-4991. We've just got about five more minutes, but we would love to incorporate your story about gratitude. Also, one of our producers says, for me, tipping is a great way to express gratitude. I do that too. Do you tip? Are you on the other end of people tipping right now? That's a way to say thanks. That's one of the few ways, actually, to interact with people and say thank you. So let us know, 573-882-4991. AJ Jacobs, any reaction to what we've been talking about so far about incorporating loss into thankfulness right now?
Yeah, well, I loved what Reverend Gould said, that it's not a binary. You can do both. And I think when I lose someone close to me, you know, I lost a friend recently, and in the midst of the grief, I tried to be thankful for the years I did have with her, and the year, you know, all of the experiences we had together. So, yeah, I think that it's important not to present it as either or.
Yes, I think that's. I'm sorry about your loss, and. It, you know, I think we can all relate to that. The things that we are having to incorporate into our lives in general right now, into our holiday right now, and then also just a reminder to also incorporate gratitude into that. Reverend Gould, AJ and I have been talking about his book, not only about the Thanks a Thousand book, but he also wrote a book, The Year of Living Biblically. And you are a good person to ask about the rituals. So we were talking about how rituals can kind of, you know, exist in churches, exist in our religious and in our synagogues and in our mosques, our religious rituals and faith rituals kind of help us practice gratitude, whether we feel it or not. Do you find that as a faith leader that the rituals really help to bring on thankfulness even when we're not feeling it so much?
Absolutely. During this time, it's been about 110 days or more since my accident. Mm-hmm. And a ritual has been very important to me. We are moving into a season again as a Christian pastor of ritual. Thanksgiving marks our Advent season, this season of expectation. At Missouri Faith Voices, we're multi-faith, and people won't be in buildings by and large. And so it is during this season of ritual around Hanukkah, around Christmas, other religious traditions that people are trying to emulate online. But what I've asked people to do is to even practice these rituals in their homes. Homes are now sanctuaries. Bedrooms, dining rooms, living rooms have become sanctuaries. And so what are the rituals that people are even missing from being inside of synagogues, mosques, temples, churches? Those can be practiced. In my own tradition as a Black person in America of African descent, I've learned more about African traditions. We talked about loss, particularly of memorializing our ancestors. Mm-hmm. And this way in which we have the mementos and sacred memory of the past. And so I do think in this book, I find people who might not practice faith on a regular basis even create a ritual that will help them. I do plan to get your book, AJ. I'm particularly interested in those rituals that you write about from the Hebrew Bible perspective.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there were tons, and I don't continue them all. I have shaved the huge beard that I had because that was part of the Bible, so shaved beard. But and I also just want to put in a plug for creating new rituals. One of my favorite rituals that we did for the first 2 or 3 months of the pandemic here in New York. At 7 o'clock every night, everyone would open their window and bang pots and pans to thank the essential workers. And I just thought it was so lovely to remember them.
That was lovely. And, you know, I have to say, AJ, those of us in Missouri were kind of involved in that, too. We were just kind of watching on Instagram and also applauding. So, you know, and you're bringing up something, AJ, and you have another book. It's All Relative, which you're in a project and we don't have time to go into it. We're almost out of time. But it's looking at one big genealogy and how we are all connected. So I think that a big thing that both you, Reverend Gould, and you, A.J. Jacobs, and your various quite different work is creating bonds and connections, and gratitude seems important for that. Let me, we've got about a minute, so let me just get from each of you very quickly something that our producers and team want to know. How are you planning to spend Thanksgiving? Will you have any new rituals in your Thanksgiving this year? Reverend Gould, do you want to go first?
Yeah, my family is listening, so it's something I haven't quite shared with them yet. I'm sending an invitation to them. We won't all be able to be together this year. When we gather in my home, I am the primary gathering place. I love to entertain and cook. Everyone has to go around the circle and say what they're thankful for. And this year we'll do that on Zoom at 6 p.m. Central Time. Now all of my family's in Missouri. We'll do that on Zoom at 6 p.m. Central Time. And we'll still go around the screen and people will say what they're thankful for.
You'll do what you're thankful for by Zoom. I think my family will be doing that as well. We are out of time. AJ Jacobs, I'm sorry we didn't get to your Thanksgiving plans. Do you want to just let us know real quick what you're doing?
Similar, Zoom, and going around thanking people that that we take for granted.
So all right. That sounds perfect. Let me say a thousand thank yous to A.J. Jacobs, author of Thanks a Thousand. Also, a few other books you can check out at ajjacobs.com. Thank you, AJ. Also, thanks to Reverend Cassandra Gould for joining us today. You can learn more about Reverend Gould's social justice work in Missouri Faith Voices at missourifaithvoices.org. That's it for the check-in today. We will be back checking in not next Thursday, it's Thanksgiving. We will be back in 2 weeks. We are around, though. You can reach out to us on Twitter, texting, at checkin_KBIA or text us at 88474. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Stay well and stay in touch.